we're back.
So, challenge the second. Has anyone got one? Got their eye on one? What should we do next? What is the next challenge to befall this fellowship? Dirk picked the last one. So, rules was written. Faye aren't allowed to pick this one.
Sorry, I just took a bite of food. Go ahead, August.
I was looking at either get around red tape / regulations or deal with persecution investigations or witch hunts.
Ooh, what fun.
Get around red tape was the one I was thinking of, but I'm down with it, either of those.
That's a good one. Yeah, I'm down with get around red tape, so we'll say that I have chosen the challenge and I will choose Hoomst among us is best equipped to start first. Let's see. I think it could be fun for Talonor. Wait, we've got to describe why it's difficult.
Why it's difficult.
I still think Talonor should go first, but... Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, given that Marius is the lead on it, and given that there is this big failure attached to their name, I can see that like the bureaucracy, like, we are really not comfortable doing this with this project lead unless X, Y, Z steps are taken. And the fact that it is such unknown territory that we're going into just sort of underscores that. Like, there's a lot of like insurance and all sorts, like, and maybe we have to do proving, like, a nod to the other challenge that you were looking at. Just sort of like there are special interest groups that we have to get their approval on as well. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That sounds good to me.
Mm-hmm.
You got something, Shrug?
Just wondering, has it gotten out to the people in charge that these mushrooms are sentient, and that is what triggered the actually we have, you know, Marius has lost their license, whatever, to do testing on sentient creatures or something like that, like, just to add what specifically is in our way.
I mean, maybe it is something to do with the level of sentience is higher than expected.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because we do have, like, a by-the-book scientist and, like, people that care, like, we have to be careful what we do here.
Because
this could threaten an entire ecosystem.
Yeah.
Because we're scientists. We're not, like, mwahaha evil. Like, I will solve the problem at any cost. We care. Maybe we weren't expecting there to be this much fucking red tape as a result of our transparency.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Dave, we have a fucking project meeting with Dave and it comes up and he's like, how sapient? Oh, fuck off. This is so much paperwork.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, sentient. As far as I think most of you know, the mushrooms are not sapient. They are sentient.
Mm-hmm.
Fee, on the other hand.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea that it's definitely Irwin who lets this slip because he's talking about how much he loves these fucking mushrooms and how much they can think and how cool they are.
Yeah, just we've had our meeting. And it just like, yeah, what's how is everybody settling in when Imbrush, you're new here, how's the first week been? And like, yeah, great, these mushrooms, they're what? Oh, no.
Did no one tell him not to tell me these things?
Why wouldn't I tell you?
Background, like we tried.
I have plausible deniability.
I don't get it.
Oh, you sweet summer child. Faye is younger than Erwin.
And yet.
Okay. So I think I know what I want to do. I think this is a scene between Talonor and Marius. And I think Talonor has pulled Marius aside specifically to talk to them in private.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And
you know, nothing can go wrong with this.
Definitely not. If someone wants to discover us later, that's fine. But I think at the start, no one is here. No one else is here. So I think Talonor came to the lab, which is something that they don't do much, if at all, because they recognize that like this is not their space. But they come to the lab. They do the whole like mixed favors. Can I please speak with you outside?
Want to inject one small detail. When Talonor comes to the lab, they find Marius like staring at one of the mushrooms, and they just say flatly, "You are a pretty mushroom."
Oh, God bless them.
Holy shit. Oh my God, yes.
I love that so much.
That's what's happening when Talonor comes to get Marius, and Marius looks frankly relieved to be dragged away.
And Talonor pulls you into like an unused meeting room kind of space, and shuts the door. And he like goes to stand, like there's a window in this room. He goes to stand by the window, with his hands behind his back. He's not looking at Marius, not because like he's angry at Marius, but just because of the things that he's going to say. And he says, Dr. Favors. What's his name? Mr. Brown has informed me of the board's decision to pause our project for the foreseeable future while they investigate the capabilities of these mushrooms. Now, does Marius say anything yet?
I think Marius, you know, crosses their arms and says, "That's exactly what we're doing here. Pausing our work is completely counter to that end."
He nods. Yes, I agree with you. I think that this has the potential to shut down this project for good. Uh, because I don't think the board is appreciative of your leadership in this matter.
What's wrong with my leadership?
People don't like you, Marius.
I don't care if people like me. I can do the job.
I know this. I also, well, I care a little bit if people like you. Because if people don't like you at all, then they are unwilling to work with you. But the board cares a lot about whether people like you. And they care a lot about other projects that you have led. Now,
I've explained to them what happened.
And he turns around to look at you. And his jaw is like set. Dr. Favors, I have no intention of trying to get you pulled off of this project. It is your project. And I do believe that yours is one of the only minds that can possibly see this project to success. So we are at a bit of an impasse with regards to the board. Now, the board's son served under me years ago and got into a not insignificant amount of trouble. Trouble which I helped to disappear, if you understand my meaning.
I understand.
I know, and you know, that these mushrooms are being taken care of. We have two of possibly the most concerned people I could think of taking care of them and looking out for their interests. I have spoken with both Dr. Rucker and Mix O'Reilly's and Mix O'Reilly on this matter and have complete faith in their motivations. What's stopping us is the board's prejudices against you. And that is a problem I think I can solve. I'm telling you this because I want to make sure that you understand that the Mix O'Reilly and Dr. Rucker will have primary deciding power over the well-being of these mushrooms.
I think Marius takes a deep breath at that point, and Talonor can tell that they're doing some mental calculus for what they're about to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go, I think that may be prudent, as clearly I am unlikable to human and fungus alike. But my focus is on the synthesis, not on the fungus itself. If we must divide labor that way, I see no cause to object.
Talonor nods, and they say, that is exactly where I want your attention. I'm glad we are on a level with this. And he offers his hand for you to shake.
Just like with Erwin, Marius like stares at the hand for a second before reaching out to do a perfunctory handshake.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's basically seen.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Alrighty. Dirk.
Oh, it is my turn. I thought it was Jade's. Whoops. Okay. I kind of really want to have a scene with I would like to have a scene with I have to pick another main character, don't I?
Yeah. It can be a minor character.
Okay. Because I think the scene I want is for Rebel to be talking to Morden and Dave.
Alrighty.
Because, like, we've all been sort of, like, made aware that things are happening with the project possibly being halted, right?
Hmm. I would say so, yeah.
I mean, that's the challenge, so we should all be aware of it.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I want to talk to Morden and Dave.
All right.
And I think... Beans, both of those are yours, Shrog. Because I was going to say, I think it would be fun if Vivian dropped in as well.
Dave could leave.
They can both be there. They can be quiet.
Because I don't know what Vivian's whole deal is, but I feel like Vivian being there would be super helpful. But Vivian is not who Rebel would seek out, so...
That's entirely fair.
Yeah. So, do Morden or Dave have offices or workspaces of any sort?
Well, Morden probably has a small office somewhere in the administrative wing of the university.
Dave has managed to be given a cubicle somewhere.
Okay. So, I think Rebel definitely, like, sends them both an invite, like, hey, can we do this at Morden's office? I need to talk to you guys.
Morden will give the okay. By the time you guys show up, Morden is like perched on the windowsill smoking a cigarette, and there's a small like bubble charm over the smoke detector in the ceiling. And is like utterly unfazed as you go in to see him smoking. And this is just a normal cigarette. You're not supposed to smoke indoors.
Yeah.
Dave enters, looks at the cigarette, sighs, shuts the door.
Did you want one?
I only smoke if they give me a break for it. This is a meeting.
Morden gives a nod of respect, like, yep, get it.
Dave has his priorities in order.
The packet is offered towards Rebel.
Rebel just shakes their head. Is fiddling with some strings they have pulled out of their pocket while they talk. And it's just like,
mm-hmm.
Okay, so we all know that they're trying to shut this down because Marius, and like, on the one hand, I get it. But on the other hand, well, fuck them. Anyway. So.
Yeah, they aren't saying it's because of Marius. They've got that whole laundry list that they've offered up, but we all know what it really is.
So, I feel like, well, we all know something needs to be done. I just don't know where to start. So, vague gesture at Morden, and another vague gesture at Dave.
Look, if you're asking me to run Amarius, thank the gods for small favors, fluff piece, or like reinvention campaign, I'm going to need significantly more time and money and alcohol. Look, I am not in the business of public rehabilitation. I am incredibly good at my job. But I am just one man.
Mm-hmm.
An incredibly accomplished man in many ways. But still just one. Finishes the cigarette, lights up a second, because if this is all about Marius, he's going to need the nicotine.
And Rebel is like, you're right, but Marius isn't the only one working on this. There's other people, and they bring things to the whole project. Is there any way we can make them sound bigger?
I mean, how willing are you to lie?
I think Rebel pauses and then looks at Dave.
Professor Favors has an incredibly large footprint. They don't want them. The board does not want Marius to have a smaller presence. They want their name to be off of the list.
Look, I can do a press conference, I can do releases, I can go to the board and say we're removing Marius from the project. I'm not saying we do that, I'm saying we tell the board we're doing that. But I am not the person to go and tell Marius that they have to pretend to leave the project.
I'm sure as hell not firing them.
I'm not saying we fire him. I just know what they're like. The fact that they have taken this whole situation as gracefully as they have, and yes, this is them taking things gracefully, is frankly a miracle. I don't think they should leave the project. I'm saying the easiest solution may be to convince the board that they have left the project.
Have you met Erwin?
Yeah. Morn gets a slightly dreamy look in his eyes, just like, yeah, fantastic. Hate to see him leave a room, love to watch him walk away.
Jesus Christ.
No, for legal purposes, I have to pretend I didn't hear that.
I'm not working on the project. This is not a conflict of interest. It's fine. I'm not doing anything about it.
I think Rebel is just like, would he even notice if you tried?
Yeah, I was going to say, well, Erwin wouldn't know, but also just shout out to Izzy in the chat. I love the notion that's just somebody else in the department just walking past the door, and at the mention of Erwin, it's just like, we all think he's hot.
The door is closed.
People just know.
Yeah.
A plus. Excellent.
There's a lot to consider here, you know. There's payroll. There's update reports. There's a lot of things that would need to be concealed here.
Yeah. I didn't say it'd be an easy thing to do. I'm saying it would probably be a way around dealing with the red tape board situation. Either that, or Morden tails off and looks out the window. Looks back into the room.
How rich is Talonor?
Look, yeah, I'm just saying. Look, bribe is such a dirty word.
And yet you said it.
I'm a dirty man. What do you want from me?
Eat some soap.
I'm shoveling the shit here every day. You get a little filthy. What do you want? Look, I'm just saying, if the act of doing a disappearing act with Marius is too complicated, then we have to tackle the board directly, which either means bribery or more drastic means that I think will cause more problems than it will solve.
I've got a third option.
All right.
Thank God.
We put enough guardrails in place. Board won't care if Marius is leaving the project or not. It'll mean things slow to a crawl. We'll have to do a lot of legwork. But we can get it so the board puts the project on a pause before we pull certain triggers, not canceling it entirely.
It's like roadblocks, like up to a point, check in, up to a point, check in. I can spin that. The university is taking every care to avoid a repeat of previous incidents. Yeah, utmost diligence. People love that shit. I can work with that. So you got three options there, Rebel. Marius leaves, the board changes their mind, or we just have to slow things down. Is that maybe seen?
Yeah, I think so, because I don't have any thoughts for how to continue or what Rebel would say to that.
Yeah. All right. Oh, it's me. All right. I'm just look at the what we've written as the wording of the challenge in my mind.
Challenge Marius.
Now, I think this is Erwin should probably be here for this. Mm-hmm. I think this is us bringing in a special interest group or a representative of them to see about the special measures that we're putting, the rails that Dave was talking about, to get the rubber stamp from them.
What if Parker is part of that particular group?
Oh, that's fun. August would have to unmute.
You're right. I would have to unmute. No. sorry, I've been off and on eating potato chips. So
you're allowed.
Yeah. No, I like that idea.
Almost, but not really a plant.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Fee and Owen in the lab. Marius is elsewhere doing maybe more research. It's not present right now, or maybe it's because we've actually had to move the machine itself into a larger space.
Mm-hmm.
And this is now sort of like the mushrooms are in here, and this is sort of like the workroom, the stuff that isn't directly on the machine itself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah, always ready.
Okay. Just, you know what, be yourself. They'll love it. Or they'll be so blinded by the charm that maybe they won't ask any difficult questions.
Erwin seems baffled by this comment.
Fee is into women when they're into anybody, so Erwin registers as, sure, that's a great-looking dude, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But is immune to the thinking, is not part of the man that guy is hot. Is like, who turned a Labrador into a man and introduced him to the field of biology?
At least there's nothing that can bite him.
yet.
We know of.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I can be myself. That's not a problem. Just be myself.
Absolutely. Look, just if there's anything you aren't sure how to answer, pivot the question this way, and we'll handle it. If it's something you think they need to know, pivot the question to Erwin. If it's something we don't want to be as clear about, you pivot it to me.
Okay. Got it.
You got this.
So
Parker's visibly psyching himself up.
I love them. They're such a good.
They are. So Erwin brings these pita, but for mushrooms, I guess. No, because Parker wouldn't be part of pita. Parker's better than
that. No, these are good guys. These are like,
yeah.
I don't know, they're just good. Like, oh, like green peas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, ASPCF.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's to do with like magical creatures. Mm-hmm. We're representative of the union of fairy tale creatures, but mundane and divine. Parker's got dragon lineage, right? That makes sense that he'd be working with these guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's just pull all the threads in here.
Yeah.
Thank you, Izzy. You are on my quote journey. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you. Both evil and benign. There we go. Good job, Brian. Anyway, does somebody want to roleplay a pushy but well-meaning mushroom advocate? Coming in to ask questions? Or do we want to just sort of extrapolate what happens there so this scene doesn't go on for an age? Because we all like to riff.
Mm-hmm. It might be the smart idea.
So yeah, sometimes stopping is the problem.
Yeah.
So I suppose what we're trying to do is make it clear to these folks that, one, we can point to the fact that, hey, they aren't being used directly in the machinery. They are there. They're inspiring us. We're pulling inspiration from them. We aren't drawing energy from them. The experiment itself, or the project itself, is not directly affecting the colony.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Really, it's like trying to get that rubber stamp on.
Yeah.
Lots of bigging up Marius,
mm-hmm.
who has really taken an interest in this aspect of the work.
Mm-hmm.
Fee definitely bullshits some about how part of why Erwin, like part of why Dr. Rocker was brought in was because of his expertise in the field. And this was a Professor Favor's suggestion, wanting to make sure that we did as much right by the colony as possible. Yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
Yada, yada.
Fee is very good at seemingly anticipating the lines of questioning it'll go down and like how to direct the questions.
Mm-hmm.
Would make a very good CJ Krieg, you know, very good at like directing a press room. Even though that's not quite what this is.
Yeah. Erwin is achingly genuine in his just interest in the well-being of the colony. And I think the problem is, like, when you meet someone who's just so genuine, it really can put you on your back foot.
Shout out to my fellow Ted Lasso fans in the audience. It's like, how do you... But people who are... It is disarming.
Yeah.
Because I think we're so used to people who act a certain way, because that's just how society teaches. And then to have somebody who's fully like, yeah, no, this is what I believe. Mm-hmm. I'd love to talk to you about it. It does throw people off. Flip side, just be an English person dealing with Americans for the first time in person. Things are different.
But that's what he brings to the table.
I think what Parker brings to the table is they're a good character witness. You know, they're related to Rebel, and Parker's played poker with the team. And these people, they're compassionate, they're intelligent, they know, they're competent, and that's, he's very earnest about it. So he provides, that's what he brings to the table.
Nice.
Like it.
I think it goes well. Like, so we can leave the scene of some very happy sounding people leaving, doing the thumbs up to Rebel and Morton and Dave. Thing went good. Thing went good.
Yeah. Because, like, honestly, even if, like, Marius was present for all of this, everything is being done right.
Yeah.
And Marius is like one of those people who you're just like, ah, that person is just like that, but like also doing everything they're supposed to.
Alrighty. Vivian.
I want a scene with Marius.
Oh boy.
Trying to decide if I should bring someone else in on this. Because I think the vibe is Vivian is going to take Marius aside, into the lab, and I want to know about the mushrooms. I'm trying to decide if they want to bring Fear Irwin in as one who knows how to talk to them, or if this is holding Marius' feet to the fire specifically. Does anyone have an instinct? Because I know Fear and Irwin were just here.
I think that second one sounds more interesting to me.
Okay. Good. Yeah. So they're going to request to meet Professor Favors in the lab.
And Marius has no reason to not, so they agree. I think Marius is there first just because, they're working.
Yeah. Do they prefer to be called Professor Favors? Or would they request to be referred to as Marius?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
That's what
really, Aaron?
One likes to clarify.
There's one person here who would probably call them Marius, and they hate it.
Professor, thank you for meeting me here. Look, I think you might have figured out why I wanted to talk.
I have my suspicions.
Look, I have some influence here as the security officer. I can vouch for this project. But I don't know yet if I should. I need you to convince me that I should stand aside for you. You understand?
God, the first thing that pops into my head is so shitty. I'm not 100% sure. Okay. Marius says, well, for one thing, I'm not sure that your services would be retained if the project were to fail, but we stand on the precipice of a wondrous advancement in human understanding and the ability for people to do things that we never thought possible before.
I understand that. Why do you think I'm trying to get involved here? I like what this project could do. But I don't know if you understand what this project could cause. So, I would like to ask something. Can you help me talk to these mushrooms?
Marius just kind of like raises an eyebrow and says, you seem perfectly capable of speech. It's not that difficult to be next to them while you talk. They're perfectly capable of understanding you, it seems.
Mm-hmm. And what do they... What is the expected response, would you say? You think they understand?
Allow me to demonstrate. And I think there is one cluster of mushrooms that Marius talks to on the regular, and they say, I appreciate your cooperation in this. You have been adequate. And Marius is clearly like trying to rack their brain.
I fucking love them. Holy shit.
They're trying so hard.
I do think that the mushrooms, like, they don't get vibrant or anything, but like their color changes a little bit. The other mushrooms remain unmoved. Like, it's just this particular cluster that, you know, the color ripples a little bit. And Maria steps aside and says, you try.
And I think Vivian is going to be a little bolder here because they saw Fee interacting with them. And they're going to try to get closer to what Fee did. I have no idea if this can or would work.
So I have a suggestion that may be a little out there, but you know, we know that animals have, you know, noshed on the mushrooms and disappeared and shown up elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
What if, you know, it's like a trough or a line of these mushrooms, and Vivian goes to do, you know, to not commune, but that's the only word my brain is coming up with at the moment. But Vivian goes to, you know, try to interact with the mushrooms, and the reaction is such that they get transported from one end of the mushroom enclosure to the other. Like something, you know, something drastic.
I've got a riff on that, because I really like that.
So do I. Yeah, I also have a riff. But,
okay, I'll pitch mine, and then you, if you like it, take it. If not, you're trying to commune with the mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And in your head, the way you described it, you are trying to do what you saw Fee doing. So Fee is in your thoughts as you do this. And when you go to touch to talk to them, Fee is brought into the room.
Okay, here's something fun. Because I think what Vivian is going to say to the mushrooms is, what do you want? And I think it is good if he is transported.
I think Fee was having lunch and just arrived still holding like a fork with like a piece of like with a scoop of like baked potato on it, and is just like, oh, looks to the mushrooms. The eyes narrow a little bit. Looks to Vivian and Marius. Did you need something? Eats the square of potato.
I feel like Marius would start asking a bunch of fucking questions about like where Fee was, what Fee was doing, what did Vivian do, that kind of thing. But I don't think we need to like role play those out.
Mm-hmm.
But Marius goes into research mode.
Mm-hmm. I think when Fee was nearby, like maybe a floor or two below, no, this hasn't happened before. Not to them. When they say they don't know how, it's not a lie and it's not the full truth.
Do we want to end the scene on that note?
Probably. Oh, there was a thing that I wanted to make a comparison to, but I'm not sure it's applicable at this point.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Vivian just is going to tell Marius, look, you have your reasons to treat this as a stimulus and a response. It's more than that. If you try to treat it as input and output, something is going to happen that you don't expect, because these things can make choices. I trust Fee on this project. And if they think you can be trusted, then I can pull whatever strings I can. But I'm worried, Marius. And they will call you Marius in this instance.
Ho-ho! Gasp!
You're a brilliant scientist. Just try to learn something from the people around you. And I think we should end scene, unless you want to say something real shitty to Vivian.
No. I think that's a good place to end the scene.
Oldest, you got to bring us home for this challenge.
Yeah. Shoot. I think we haven't seen Ishak really. So I think maybe this is Ishak and Erwin and Marius.
Team science.
Team science. But they're never going to tell Vivian this, but some of what Vivian said sank in, and it's like, okay, maybe I need to change my approach here. These are the other partners that I have to work with. And, you know, what can I take from them? Kind of deal. And I don't think that this is a really big scene. I think this is a lot of like Marius kind of hovering while Ishak and Erwin work. How do they respond to that?
Erwin is always glad to like point out what he's doing and why to Marius. And he makes an effort to do it in a way that it's not, he's not instructing Marius. He is explaining his methodology to his project lead, if that makes sense. But in such a way that he's instructing Marius.
I think it's like one of those true scientist that has had to work on group projects, Danielle.
I think that Marius, like, it's in my head, it's a matter of pride. Like, their overall pride at being part of the project overrides their pride at being instructed. Mm-hmm. So they're able to swallow the smaller thing because they're focusing on the bigger thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they know they're being instructed here.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll deal with it, mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's happy, more than happy, to just, like, go through the entire thing and talk about how, like, he and Fee take care of the mushrooms and all the things that he's learned from them and what he's noticed about the mushrooms' responses to different kinds of stimuli. Mm-hmm. And also this really cool lizard he found in here the other day that that definitely wasn't here the night before. So he thinks maybe the mushrooms teleported it in, and he's not sure why. He's concerned that they have an insect problem and brought the lizard in to help deal with that.
Mm.
And Maria says... Or maybe it just wanted a pet.
Maybe. It's a really cool lizard. The lizard is in his shirt pocket.
Ishak doesn't say it, but the mushrooms already have a plant. It's Erwin, obviously. I meant to say a pet, but... no.
Erwin is providing mushroom enrichment.
Sure. I think Ishak actually tends to spend more time on the mechanical side of things than on the fungus side of things. Mm-hmm. When he does interact with the mushrooms, he talks to them like he's discussing things with a colleague he likes. He's friendly and asks the mushrooms their opinion and lets them know, okay, so we tried this, we're doing this. When Marius starts hovering, he keeps, like, asking if Marius needs anything or am I doing something? Did you need me to do something else? But besides that, he talks to the mushrooms actually about the same way he talks to Erwin. He's polite, he's friendly, explains what he's doing as necessary, asks for input as necessary. Obviously, he talks to the mushrooms more because they're more integral than Erwin is. No offense, Erwin. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so I don't know that the... he's not effusive like Erwin is, so I don't think the mushrooms have, like, the effusive response to him that they have to Erwin. But it's clear that he's basically treating the mushrooms like a mute coworker.
Mm-hmm. All right, I think that's basically seen.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So time to resolve.
We start with one white and one red. If your main character is unhappy about the path the fellowship has taken, hold one redstone. If your main character actually wants the quest to fail, hold two redstones. Otherwise, hold no stones. I'm putting a line break there. Yeah, so let's consider. Several people are typing. Are we all decided?
Yes.
Yep. Yes.
All right. 3, 2, 1, reveal.
Ooh. August.
Yeah.
I mean, that does.
Yeah.
So Marius isn't really happy about having to placate, having to change their methodology. They didn't really care for Vivian's interference. I said this in the chat, but I think it bears saying out loud. Marius kind of treats everything as stimulus and response, even other people. So they don't see why the mushrooms are special, like why they need special treatment, because this is how they interact with the world at large. So they're not happy.
Fair.
Now, as a player, do you think the Fellowship did what was necessary to succeed at the challenge? Hold white if yes, red if no.
Everyone ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. 3, 2, 1. Show them.
Oh, Jade.
Oh.
I like the things that were done, but I feel like nothing was big enough. Like, at the end of the day, the wording of the challenge, specifically what we were trying to get round, I'm not sure.
Okay. That is completely fair.
All right.
And that leaves us with three red. Yep, 3 red and 5 white.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be rolling a d8. 1, 2, 3 is red. Everything else is white.
Let's hop into the Dice Stuff channel and watch.
Oof. 4. Oof. So close.
Mm-hmm.
That was almost bad. So our first one is white.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'll be rolling a d7. 1, 2, 3 is red.
Mm-hmm.
2. So that means we are white red.
Oh, that's the bad order.
Yeah. Lose 1 character and lose the challenge. Oh boy.
And we can lose a secondary character, right? It doesn't have to be a primary, or does it have to be a primary?
It's my understanding it can be a secondary. Let me double check. When you lose characters because of the draw, they are out of the game. They may quit, die, or be kicked out of the Fellowship. It could be bad luck or a noble sacrifice, but however you want to describe it, they are gone.
Looking at about the outcome, it says it can be a main or a minor character, but the player losing the character has final say over what happened to them.
All right.
it Morden doing something shady?
Possibly. I wouldn't put it in past him, frankly. Yoda's got to get another job. Maybe.
I mean, here's the thing. So would Dave.
Oh! That's a shocker.
Dave would just go... If he saw things were going south quick, he might jump ship.
That's a good one.
All right.
Okay, how about we combine the two? Okay. Morden throws Dave under the bus for mismanagement.
Ooh.
But he wouldn't name names, but he would say a failure in project management has happened. He will send Dave like a gift basket. Like, this is not personal, my guy. I know you were just in this for the wage packet. We'll get you a really good reference, my guy. I'm sorry, your name will not be on this. No hard feelings.
Incredible.
Can I take you out to dinner?
Dave secretly very glad his name is not on this.
Right. He gets that ultimatum from corporate, like, look, you can step away quietly or you can make a whole thing out of it. And Dave's like, nope, we're done.
Yep, I'm good. Bye.
Gets a text from Morden, just like, so now we're no longer work colleagues. We don't have a conflict of interest. Can I buy you dinner?
Incredible.
Wow. Morden is not immune to the allure of the wet cat in a van.
I think Dave just responds, I can wait until you're done with Erwin.
This is a slight callback to the game where Dave debuted between Dragon Eye, which is that somehow, despite being the most average man, people keep flirting with Dave, and like he keeps getting into like threesomes and stuff, seemingly without trying. It's hilarious. We love that for him.
Well,
look, Morden is enjoying the visual of Erwin. Not going to do anything. Enjoying himself.
All right.
Challenge the third. Danielle, you were the one that pitched this in our break time. Yeah. So if you want to...
I think that this challenge is going to be test it in the field. I think it's got to be test it in the field instead of test it in the lab because we failed the last challenge.
Yeah.
maybe we don't really have access to that lab space anymore for reasons we're not going to get into.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
But
so is that why it's difficult?
Yeah, I think it is.
Maybe this is unauthorized testing, hasn't it? Yeah. They put the brakes on the project and we're like, no, we're at the break, we need to test it now.
Ask for forgiveness instead of beg for forgiveness instead of asking for permission. They'll understand when we succeed. So that's why I think it's difficult. And I just picked the first player. Okay. I think... I think that I want to see fee starting this? Because I want to see how they're reacting to this.
All right. So we know that we're going to have to do testing in the field.
Mm-hmm.
That's established. This is Fee going to Vivian's office and like rapping on the door frame.
Mm-hmm. Come in.
Can I pick your brain about something?
Of course.
Closes the door. Looks like they're listening for something. And then closes the distance. We're going to need to smuggle the colony out of the university if this is going to work.
Of course you are. Right.
It's not gonna work if they're not there. You know what you said to Marius, right? How they can make a choice.
Oh, I know.
Right. You're the security officer. How do we smuggle out a mushroom colony?
Well, it's my understanding that before this particular experiment was cordoned off, you left some of your personal effects in the lab and will need to go retrieve them, as will several other members of staff. It just so happens that a lot of that equipment will be what is needed for the colony to exist elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that.
Let me ask you a question to which I already knew the answer. Would you still do this if I told you no?
You said you knew the answer, right?
Yeah, come on. Let's get you your stuff.
I love them. Seven. We can end the scene there. This is... Cool, great, good, Vivian,
yeah.
It's your scene.
I want Talinor and Ishak. Because of everyone in this group. These are the two that I need to get into the room and ask, okay, are we doing this? Are you doing this? They're doing this. And I'm doing this because I'd rather have them do this with me than without me. Yeah, I think... I mean, it makes sense for Ishak to meet up with Vivian in the gym, but not Talinor. Where do you think I can find the general?
I think he is overseeing people packing up the lab. Like he's on the other side of the glass watching as people who are not our people begin to pack up the lab.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Vivian brought up to Ishak at just the gym or something, like, we need to discuss this.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so they come up with him. They're escorting him. They still have their clearances and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they're gonna kind of rap on the glass for permission to, like, badge in and talk. Or are you, you're on the outside?
I'm on the outside.
What you meant by
yeah.
other side of the glass? Great. We'll talk out here.
Mm-hmm.
Look, anyone is going to be a skeptic about this, it's the two of you. Is this still worth doing?
Talonor doesn't react to you saying that. And when you ask whether it's still worth doing, he folds his arms and says, yes.
Ishak is visibly distracted watching the other people pack up the lab. And he makes an annoyed sort of noise and says, I joined this project because I thought it was worth pursuing, but we don't have a choice, do we?
Yeah. Yeah, you do. If it were still up to you, would you go through with it? Knowing why they shut it down. Knowing the risks.
He looks thoughtful for a long moment. Then sorry, my brain, I just had a brain fart.
No, that's fine. It's all good.
But he looks thoughtful for a moment, and then he kind of laughs and says, almost to himself, make a choice, stand by it. And he says, yes, I would.
Great. I'm going to need you to take off your shoes real quick.
Now he looks at Vivian.
Jesus.
Yeah, just don't make a big thing out of it. Just give them to the general, please.
He looks down at his shoes. The sighs and takes them off.
All right, Vivian's gonna badge in and just say to the people working, "Hi, sorry to disturb you. We're looking for some personal effects. We just got back from the gym, and Dr. Corey needs to retrieve his shoes. We'll only be a moment, and we're gonna essentially pickpocket this lab."
Talonor carefully hides the shoes behind his back.
He's so broad, no one will ever spot them.
I think that scene.
Beautiful. I love it.
Love it.
Incredible.
All right, August.
Oh boy. I think this has got to be with with Fee.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is us actually out in the field.
Mm-hmm.
Like, possibly a literal field. Trying to identify a place where we can set up our makeshift equipment and whatever equipment that is able to be purloined from the lab as it gets shut down.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's probably nighttime. Marius is potentially complaining. But they look at Fee and they're like, as I have difficulty admitting, you are the expert on the fungus's behavior. Where here would be the optimal location?
For the start point or the end point?
For the start point. I think from there we can extrapolate where the end point will be based on what's happened with your previous experiences with the fungus colony.
All right. And starts doing longer strides. Looks like they're looking around periodically, like dropping to the ground. And after a little bit of time, goes, yeah, here, I think.
What?
Puts a hand into their bag or into their pocket. Yeah, no, here.
What makes this such an optimal location?
They pull their hand out of their pocket, like, imagine like a big parka kind of thing, deep pockets. And there is like just a handful of mulch with some of the mushrooms on it. And they look at Marius and said, they told me. And sets the little handful down into the earth, gets out a mister from their bag and just spritzes the ground a little and just sort of helps.
They yes. told you. Of course they told you. Why would I think anything different? And I think
that
scene... tone
of voice, it's really hard. Okay, fair enough. I think, actually, if you don't mind, you say that, and Fee just looks at you, and there's sort of like a sort of flickering of light, like you'd see with a firefly.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the colony is there, having been brought by the small cluster that Fee put down.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
A plus.
That's definitely seen.
Hell yeah. All right, Talonor.
I think... I think this is a scene of Talonor is driving to the site with Vivian. And maybe Rebel. He drives a beat up truck. That has a bunch of shit in the trunk of it, in the bed, that is covered with a big tarp. And it is night. And he is he doesn't have the radio on. He's got the windows down because the AC doesn't work. He is wearing just like a button-down shirt with the sleeves rolled up to the elbows. Mm-hmm. Absolutely the most laid back that you have seen him. And I don't think he speaks.
Thought you were going to just say the most absolutely ripped human being you have ever seen.
I mean, that is also true. Not in the way of a bodybuilder, but absolutely in the way of someone who is built like a brick house and can and will lift unreasonable amounts of weight.
Mm-hmm. Your whole ass.
Yeah, Hackbat in the chat has a very important question, though. Who's riding shotgun?
Who is riding shotgun?
Is he why?
I feel it's got to be either Rebel or Vivian, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, they're the only two with Dalinar, aren't they?
No, I assumed Ishak was there too.
Sure. That makes sense.
I could be wrong.
Is any of that stuff in the back going to cause problems if it falls out?
Probably.
Like, explodey problems.
Talonor.
I stand by probably.
side probably. Eyes. Vivian. It's not going to fall out. I strapped it myself.
As soon as Talonor says that, Rebel's like, I'll sit in the back with the stuff in case it falls out.
I mean, it was a question of me riding in the flatbed. I'll take the shotgun. It's fine.
Something definitely almost falls out on the trip.
Purely because Rebel is there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No. I want to specify.
That is important. It would have been fine.
Yes.
This is not a commentary on Talonor's ability to strap stuff into the back of a truck.
Mm-hmm. Nope. It's just because Rebel is there. Yep. And like, yeah, that's definitely gonna fall out now. Now I gotta make sure.
Talonor absolutely takes all of Rebel's like weird divination type shit in stride. Mm-hmm. Absolutely has no idea that Zay serves a god, much less a chaos god.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is this the scene of just y'all going driving and having to deal with the logistics of being this group of people with this equipment?
Mm-hmm. I think so. When we get there, I do want to say that Talonor helps unload everything. It's just a bunch of scientific equipment. Don't ask him where he got a field mass spectrometer. Don't ask. He just has one. but, you know, he helps, take it all out, follows Marius's and Fee's instructions and Ishak's instructions on like where to set it up. And as everyone is like taking a water break, he wanders over to the mushroom colony and squats really close to the ground and appears to be having some kind of conversation with it, one-sided conversation with it. I do not think it talks back to him. Before he goes back and rejoins everybody else.
Anyway. God, Vivian would want to eavesdrop on that.
Yeah, me too.
Good luck sneaking up on him.
Yeah, no.
You don't fucking sneak up on somebody built like that.
Ooh, boy.
No, you just don't.
All right.
Bring us home, Dirk.
Yeah. I think... he kind of stole my scene a little bit.
No. No,
I it still works. I don't know that it's necessarily that day.
Mm-hmm.
But my scene is definitely Rebel just going to Vivian and saying, hey, could I get your help? I think I may have left some things in the lab.
You know, that's very funny. Everyone keeps losing stuff in that lab. I mean, everyone is very attached to it. I understand.
You know how it is. And, I don't, have a whole thing for this. Except that, Rebel keeps up, general, conversation while they go down to the lab, and very blatantly gathers some things up that they're definitely going to need.
I think maybe point blank just asks Rebel at some point, and you're sure the mushrooms can't just teleport this stuff themselves? This would be so much easier.
It would be easier if they could. I am not actually sure. I just know what I can do. And, this is stuff that's going to be necessary. So.
All right. Is there some topic that Rebel is wanting to bring up with Vivian, or is this literally just grab stuff, go?
No, I don't think there's any particular topic Rebel specifically wants to discuss with Vivian. But what I will say is that Rebel is going for more obvious things than Vivian would think they could get away with. And if they try to comment on it, Rebel will pointedly redirect the conversation. So it's are you sure you should? How? Hey, what about this particular show? Have you seen it? And,
Vivian definitely notices.
Yeah.
I think the question is just whether they want to take some of this stuff because they don't trust that Rebel's not going to get heat on Zim.
Mm-hmm. I think if Vivian, tries to like check in on Rebel too many times, Rebel is finally going to ask, have you ever heard of the chaos god Gibber?
I have. Not, you know, I don't disagree with the philosophy, just, I find there are better styles of doing things.
That's fair.
Chaos is... it's a means. Or, sorry, it's a method, not a means. That's not right either. God damn it. it's the means, not an end. God damn it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Chaos is the means, not the end.
And Rebel nods. That is pretty much exactly correct. And Gibber... I like Gibber. I think he's very fun. And, you know, you don't always want to live in interesting times, but sometimes it's nice to shake things up. But the important thing is that I got a sense of humor. And one thing you learn if you work with Gibber a lot... is that if you mention something you want, you're almost definitely not gonna get it. And if you mention something you don't want to happen, it's almost definitely gonna happen because...
yeah, and you're sure you don't want me to take some of this stuff.
I think that's when something like falls over right as Rebel walks by, and Rebel looks very pointedly at the thing that fell over and looks at Vivian and says, are you sure you want to take some of these things?
Hey, you're the one with the relationship with chaos. It's about what you don't want, right? Not about what I want. And they will just wordlessly pick up the box.
And Rebel's just like, we don't need that one. You can put that. And like gestures to somewhere across the room. Like, please make it go away.
Is that sane?
I think so.
I think so.
All right. The third challenge. The outcome of the third challenge decides the entire quest. If we fall now, the quest is lost. We start with no stones in the pool. Add one white, one red. I have too many tabs open. Each player takes two red. Oh, wait. Add one white challenge for each successful challenge, and one red for each failed challenge. So we have one each.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if your main character is unhappy about the path the fellowship has taken, hold one red stone. If your main character wants the quest to fail, hold two red stones. Otherwise, hold no stones. And I'm putting in a divider. Are we all decided?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. 3, 2, 1, reveal.
All right, so we don't add any red stones this time. Hall of freaking Lulia. So, as a player, do you think the Fellowship succeeded at the challenge? Hold white if yes, red if no. This will decide the entire quest, not just this challenge. Let me know when y'all are decided.
Yep.
Yep.
I'm decided.
All right. 3, 2, 1, reveal. Oh, wow. We've got
a lot of white stones.
All white stones. All right. So that means we have 2 red stones going into this and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 white stones. So we'll be rolling a D9. 1 and 2 are red. The rest are white.
Okay.
And the first result is 6. So that means our first result is white. Now we'll roll a D8. 1 and 2 are red. And the result is 4, which is another white. So we succeeded.
Hey, we do our field test.
Yes. All right. The quest is now over. Proceed to the epilogue. After 3 challenges, the quest is over. We succeeded or failed, but our characters live on. Some of them, anyway. I think, sorry, I skipped ahead in excitement. The first thing we need to do is to narrate the outcome of the challenge, which I think, I'm imagining we're, like, virtually all of us are standing in that field at this point. I'm imagining that there's, like, a fairy ring of the mushrooms. Like they've chosen to grow in this configuration. They're not being contained by the vivarium or anything like that. There's a lot of go ahead. Absolutely go ahead.
Can I propose that most beloved of phenomena, bioluminescence in the dark, in the like the dusk or dawn? Like it's not, we're coming up towards dawn, but it's not there yet. But the fairy ring is shedding off this sort of prismatic bioluminescence.
Absolutely. We've got janky equipment. Like, I mean, it's the equipment isn't janky, but it's hastily set up, so it looks janky. And we've got, I think Marius has laid out some of the synthetic mycelia next to the mushrooms as part of this field test. And that's how I imagine it all kicks off, so... What do we think this field test looks like?
Go ahead.
I have this great mental image of, I don't know if it's where the artificial mycelium are or if it's where the mushrooms are, but like... there's just this image of like the ground dropping out and not like it's falling or anything, but like turning into a cone in a weird way you can see from the top that you shouldn't be able to see it quite like that. So that's the thought I've got for the start of it anyway. What did you have, Danielle?
Yeah, go on, Danielle.
I'm envisioning the bioluminescence from the mushrooms getting brighter and then being reflected in the artificial mycelium until it almost hurts to look at. Before suddenly switching off.
Okay, Shrug, do you want to add something before I've kind of know how this sort of snapshot ends before we go into the epilogue.
Then go ahead.
Do you not have anything you want to add here? Just like a detail about...
I don't have anything specific.
I think there is this moment where it's like a held breath. And there's this feeling of like pressure, like you're being held, and we're all feeling it. And some there's a slight yunk feeling as we get all sort of like, and we all move from one part of the field to the other. And it's like, okay, it worked. It did the thing. And Fee grabs hold of whoever is nearest to them and just says, we're not done. Brace yourself. As their eyes go a little bit white looking, as they're looking at something the rest of you can't see. And there's this pop. And the field is empty.
Cool.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So, August, I feel like we should hand the epilogue over to you.
Give me just a moment. I want to briefly ask a question in chat.
All right.
The answer to this question determines what I say next.
Oh, no.
Danielle, you got the deciding vote.
unfortunately, you're the decider, Danielle.
Christ.
so good at this.
I think... as a liminal space.
Oh.
If you don't mind putting your response in chat, I have an idea for how this works out.
I'm waiting for everybody else to type first.
We're professionals.
Oh my god, guys. You voted. What are you typing?
I have opinions.
Yeah.
All right. I think the next thing we see is darkness. We is the audience. I think the camera slowly adjusts as if it were a human eye. We start to make out shapes. No colors. The light's too dim for us to be able to see colors just yet. And we see the outline of five figures standing just as they had been in the field before. But they're not standing in a field right now. They're standing in an expansive foyer with dusty carpet. Again, it's too dark for us to be able to make out any of the colors. A chandelier above them. Staircase winding up to a second floor. And we will see our characters' reactions in our next chapter of the Ultraviolet Catastrophe, in which we will be playing House by Marn S.
Alrighty.
I feel like we should do outros in reverse order. So, Shrog.
I have been Shrog. My pronouns have been he, him. I have been able to be found at the internet at The Secret Frog or just Secret Frog. I have had a great time, and I look forward to more shenanigans with Vivian in the future.
Hell yeah. Jade.
I'm still Jade. I'm still on the internet at Jade Oxidrose. For the foreseeable future, at least, I'm using they, them pronouns. And I'm looking forward to coming back next week, Saturday, and seeing where the fuck we are.
Dirk.
I have been Dirk. You can find me on Hope's Hearth. You can also find me at SCP Archives. And I'm so excited. I'm so delighted. I love everything.
Danielle.
I've been Danielle, and you can continue to find me on the internet at Redtail Talk 90.
And I've been August. I've been a bit of the ringleader here. This is something that I've been very excited to experiment with. You can still find me on Twitter at HarpyDora, on Tumblr at StrangeHarpy. You can find Standing Stones on Twitter at Stones_Standing. Dirk, where can people find Hearthside Enclave?
You can find Hearthside Enclave on Twitter and Tumblr at HS Enclave. You can also find Hope's Hearth at Hope's Hearth Pod on Twitter. And I think it's just Hope's Hearth on Tumblr. I don't think SCP Research Archives has a Twitter or a Tumblr yet, but that's a silly project for fun and ridiculousness. But, yeah.
Uh-huh. All right. In that case, this has been Ultraviolet Catastrophe Chapter 1. We look forward to seeing you next Saturday, same bat time, same bat channel for Chapter 2.
Well, there you go.
Peace.
Peace.
Adios.